Chapter 1. When I see him, almost 40 years later, I realize two things. I know who it is, and I'm not particularly surprised. His car, an expensive yellow convertible with a top-up, parks at the head of my long drive. It is a hazy September morning when the world, excluding my brilliant many-hued roses, lies quiet and subdued in shades of green. He gets out. At this distance, a figure in the mist, tall and very broad across the chest, he hesitates a moment to get his bearings, then walks down the new gravel toward my house, his strides long and awkward, his hair a shock of white. He wears beige slacks and a denim shirt with a yellow tie. As he approaches, I'm amazed at how much he resembles Pastor Kenneth. Less crude, perhaps, but still, like his father, uncomfortable in his movements. Seeing him, I hastily remove my hands from the roses, pricking my right pointer finger on a large thorn, which draws blood. I lick the blood away, straighten up, and watch him. He had sent a letter months ago that had been forwarded to me. Though I never answered, I'd been worried he would show up. My heart begins to pound. This was sure to throw off my day. I'd been bustling about in my windowed porch, brewing the fair trade coffee Antoinette insists we buy, putting together a large bouquet of pink romanticas and yellow floribundas, about to sit at my computer and write. My latest project is another sea story. I don't know what else I'd write, about a young officer making his first trip as ship's master. I took some writing classes a couple years ago at a small college 20 miles from Portland, where I now live, and recently have gotten a couple stories into regional magazines. His name is Walter. Back then, a scrawny, overly polite blonde boy, tall for his age and studious. He feared his Bible-thumping father and adored his vivacious mother. The last time I saw him, I had held his hand tightly on the stern for the burial at sea.